Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome one and all, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to start off tonight with some great news about our financial system. We still have one. Over the weekend, there were some doubts thanks to the rapid implosion of Silicon Valley Bank, which last week collapsed after losing all of its money in just 48 hours. I don't see how a bank could lose all their money that fast. Why don't they just attach the money to those chains they put on the pens? Then they can't. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad when the very first time you ever hear of a bank is when they're going out of business. But should have seen it coming from their slogan, Silicon Valley Bank, we will be missed. Here's the thing about Silicon Valley Bank, and one of the reasons maybe you hadn't heard about it, it's not what we think of as sort of a normal bank. They didn't have a lot of small depositors. They had a lot of tech startups with large amounts of cash that the startups needed to transfer someplace until they withdrew it later, meaning the SVB was sort of like a Venmo for Dropbox, or no, it was like a TaskRabbit for PayPal. No, it was like a Grindr for Grubhub, whatever. These tech startups had accounts that were so huge that they were too big to be federally insured. And on Wednesday, it was revealed that SVB had invested these massive deposits in treasury bonds, which had lost value when the Fed raised rates, which they had to then sell at a loss to cover their deposits, sparking a run on the bank. And I'm being told we have footage of what a run on a bank for tech startups looks like.
You're thinking of this place all wrong. As if I had the money back in a safe. The money's not here. Your money's in a smartwatch for dogs. And yours is in an energy drink for ghosts.
With over $200 billion in assets, this is the second largest bank failure in U.S. history since the collapse of Washington Mutual in 2008. It's 2008 all over again, baby. Banks are collapsing, flip phones are back, and Hillary Clinton's got the nomination locked up. But there's no way Obama's gonna take it. Hussein, come on, Hussein. Then just 2 days later, after the second largest bank collapse in history, we got the third largest bank collapse in history when regulators announced that New York-based Signature Bank had also failed. Yeah, but it failed in the greatest city in the world. If you can't make it here, you can't make it anywhere. Now, don't you worry, guys. New York is the land of opportunity. You just grab yourself an Elmo head, head out to Times Square, and you shake your furry moneymakers. We'll be back on top in no time. To stop the spread of financial panic on Sunday, just yesterday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced the feds would fully reimburse the bank's customers using cash from the Deposit Insurance Fund, which has over $100 billion in it. A Treasury official says that amount is more than fully sufficient to cover SVB and Signature depositors, but NPR reports that now the fund is going to be pretty depleted. So we're totally fine as long as we don't have another crisis. It's like the fire extinguisher says, in case of emergency, tough luck, you used this last year, make your peace with God. And the flames are your friends now.
Oh, no.
In addition, federal officials are auctioning off Silicon Valley Bank, and they are pulling out all the stops at the auction. They even got one of those inflatable Janet Yellens. President, she looks good.
That looks good.
President Biden addressed the crisis this morning.
Every American should feel confident that their deposits will be there. Your deposits are safe. Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. The bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe.
Not as comforting as he imagines. No one wants an unexpected call from the babysitter that goes, the kids are safe. You can have total confidence that the kids are safe. Rest assured, your kids are safe. The bottom line is this. All kids have all fingers, and the toaster oven is nowhere near the bathtub. All Americans should know. Because also a little unsettling, Biden gave this speech at 9 a.m. Presidents never speak that early. Biden speaking at 9 a.m. is like your parents calling you at 9 a.m. Oh, God. Either somebody's dead or the internet is down. I'm gonna have to fly to Ohio to press a reset button. Speaking of failures, we have an update on Mike Pence. Seen here.
Wow.
Seen here thinking about napkins. Oh, Mikey P gave a speech to journalists at the annual Gridiron Sex Club dinner, and he came out hard against his old boss, saying, the ex-president was wrong. I had no right to overturn the election, and his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol that day. I know that history will hold the ex-president accountable. Okay, that's cool about history and stuff, but could the Justice Department hold him accountable? Or the Manhattan District Attorney, or the Baskin-Robbins Birthday Club? Anyone? Anyone alive now? Because Mike Pence isn't going to do jack squat to help. Just last week, he asked a judge to block the special counsel's subpoena for his January 6th testimony, arguing that serving as the former president of the Senate essentially makes him a member of the legislative branch. Okay, technically kind of true, but barely. That makes as much sense as saying, for your information, I'm a member of the United Mileage Plus, so legally I'm allowed to land the 747. Give me the keys. There are no keys? Okay. Of course, it wasn't all January 6th. Pence had some fun, told some jokes, even did a bit of an impression of his old boss. Hello, it is I, the godless president. I would like to order another cheesed burger, please. Now for my Robert De Niro impression. Hello, I'm an acclaimed actor, deserving of respect and admiration. Robert De Niro, are you talking to me? I don't see anyone else here. Who in the HE double hockey sticks are you talking to, if not me? Pence is taking shots at the ex-prez and telling zingers for a reason, according to his top advisor. Mike is in a different place where he can sort of be free and liberated. So he's not going to testify, but he's going to wear a Snoopy tie. Last night was the Oscars, the biggest night for movies on TV. It's TV's biggest night for movies other than when TBS airs Four Weddings and a Funeral. There were so many exciting wins last night. Michelle Yeoh made history by becoming the first Asian woman to win the Oscar for Best Actress, and Hollywood comeback kid Brendan Fraser took home Best Actor for his role in The Whale, as well as the award for Most Nautical Metaphors.
I'm grateful to Darren Aronofsky for throwing me a creative lifeline and hauling me aboard the good ship The Whale that was written by Samuel D. Hunter, who is our lighthouse. Gentlemen, you laid your whale-sized hearts bare. I want to tell you that only whales can swim at the depth of the talent of Hong Chow. It's been like I've been on a diving expedition on the bottom of the ocean.
Okay, it was really a lovely moment, but I got a quick question. Did Brendan watch his own movie? Because I did, and it wasn't about having fun on the high seas. I also loved tar. All that hot, sticky tar really swallowed the saber-toothed tiger and the mammoth. All quiet on the Western Front. Not a peep on that front. Just the biggest winners of the evening were friends of the show Daniels, who took home Oscars for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Original Screenplay for their film Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yes. Beautiful film. Absolutely beautiful film. Everything Everywhere All at Once, or as your parents call it, We Were Confused. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Christina Ricci.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an actor you know from The Addams Family, Monster, and Yellow Jackets.
Hi. Guess who? It's Misty. Again. Third time today, actually. What is up with you and Shauna? Anyway, were you guys having like a spa day without me or something? But seriously, I have evidence that Nat has met with foul play, so I could really use the support of my teammates. Call me back.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Christina Ricci.
I never noticed this feeling before.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't
it?
So nice.
It really gives you something to look at.
Between questions. There you go. There you go. It's Christina Ricci, everybody.
Hi.
Lovely to see you again.
So nice to see you.
Been too long.
I know.
Now, first season of Yellow Jackets over on the Showtime, huge sensation. Does success like that change the vibe on the set when you go to shoot season two?
Yes. Yes, everybody was terrified. Yeah.
You showed up and someone said, like, yay, it's good. We got a second season.
Sweet. Yeah. Oh, no.
Now we have to be good.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, like, hype and build up about how good everything is. I like to come in, like, with low expectations and then be, like, a pleasant surprise. this is really killing that whole mode for me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was really scary. I mean, it's so wonderful to be so well-received and the accolades and everything, but then you have to go back and do it again.
Right.
And, like, make sure that you're, you know, for me, I was like, okay, she's so specific, this character I play,
yes.
And people picked out little things, like the way I walked.
Yeah, you had,
Misty.
You had an interesting waddle.
I did, but I was pregnant at the time, so my walk was because I had a baby inside of me. So when I went back to do season two, I was like, why can't I do the walk? And I was like, oh, damn it, I'm not pregnant anymore. So there were, like, little things like that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's intimidating. And the show comes out in 2 weeks. And I just hope it's good. I hope everybody likes it.
Your character has a love interest in this new season. It's our old friend Elijah Wood. There you are.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time you guys have worked together. You were both in The Ice Storm.
Yes,
Was it fun to reunite?
It was fun. I mean, I was so excited to work with him again. And, you know, we were 15 years old. We worked together originally. And
yep.
I remember everything, and he remembers nothing, just like every man I've ever known. So, you know, it's great. No, but Elijah is amazing.
Sure.
He's so fun. And,
yeah.
And most of the season for me was spent with Elijah in like mm-hmm. two-man scenes, and
yes.
It was so fun to work with him. He's so good.
We saw the clip just there, and your character is passive aggressive, very
yes.
passive aggressive.
I love it.
Is that something that you enjoy? You like that?
Well, I'm a very passive aggressive person.
Are
personally.
You?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm 5'2". I can't be openly aggressive. I'll get killed. So I employ passive aggression all the time.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
You can always say, like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant that. Like, you can always apologize, say
right.
they heard it wrong.
Do you have, like, things you, like, you know, I'm from the South. People say, like, you know, well, bless your heart, or
mm-hmm.
I'll pray for you, or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any go-tos, things you like to do?
Yes, I mean, if someone's standing too close to me in public, I'll say to them, like, oh, I'm sorry, did you need to stand here? which is, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And then I also will, at work, sing derisive... I'll sing a little derisive song to the tune of Frozen's Do You Want to Build a Snowman? So, like, someone will do something annoying, and then I put lyrics to it, and it's to the tune of...
Like, someone took your last...
Or I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do that myself. Thanks. You don't need to touch my... Oh, you need to touch my ankle. And then I'll sing a song about how they needed to touch my ankle to... Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Because it sounds pleasant, and it's so only
can
if they really...
Can I have an example?
I can't. Don't make me sing on your show.
Wow.
But you use your imagination.
So did you need to touch my ankle?
It basically goes like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't sing? I bet you have a lovely voice.
No, I don't.
You don't? We have to take a quick break, but we will be back with more Christina Ricci, everybody. Don't go nowhere.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
I want to ask you about Wednesday, which is, it was another sensation. Obviously, everybody remembers you as Wednesday Addams in Addams Family movies, which is such a fantastic performance. Well, there's a new generation.
Yeah.
There's a new generation embracing Jenna Ortega, but also you're in the series as well.
I am.
You're Marilyn Thornhill. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Marilyn.
Marilyn is the botany teacher at Nevermore Academy, where, you know, all the outsiders and, you know, children with supernatural talents are going.
Sure.
And she's the only, like, normie teacher, so she doesn't have any supernatural skills. Turns out she's not as nice as she appeared to be in the beginning. Passive-aggressive.
Sure, I was about to say.
Insanely passive-aggressive.
Apple does not fall far from the tree over here. How do you think about people like rediscovering Wednesday Addams and loving that character?
I think it's really fun. I mean, she's a great character. I mean, if you think about role models for young people, like, that's a great character.
She's empowered.
She knows who she is. Yep. She's never going to conform. Yep. She's never going to try to be what everybody thinks she should be. She'll never change to please anyone. Mm. I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah. I agree. So... You've been working since you were just a kid, and you worked with some amazing people, Christopher Lloyd, Angelica Houston, Cher, just to name a few. Are there people out there, when you were young, did anybody take you aside and say, hey, this is how show business works? Did anybody, like, try to educate you to how weird the business is and all, like, the...
When I was 9, my first movie was Mermaids with Cher, and Cher literally answered every single question I ever had. Wanted me to always know what was going on. We changed directors in the middle of filming.
Yeah.
And she didn't want me to feel scared or insecure, so she would have production meetings in her trailer and she would hide me in the back so I could hear everything that was going on.
Wow.
She felt like it was very important that even though I was a child, I still understood what was going on
set. Did you understand what the person
meant? I did. And it made me, honestly, it made me feel more secure knowing that, because... Sometimes you think the problem is you. And I think she really wanted to make sure that I understood that there was chaos on the set, but it had nothing to do with me and all of this stuff. And it was it was really great. She was every bit as wonderful as you think Cher would be.
Now, do you ever, like, when you see people who are as young as you were at that time, do you mentor them?
Well, I tend to, yes. If somebody asks me questions, I will absolutely give them answers. But a lot of times, like, the people playing the teenagers are actually 26 years old and been working since they were 5. So they don't need my condescension, frankly.
It's the Riverdale situation.
The whole thing. Yeah, it's like people do ask me, like, oh, did you give your, you know, Samantha Hanratty plays young Misty, you ever given her advice? And I'm like, she's been working for, like, 15 years, and she's 26, guys. Like, she doesn't need me.
How old were you when you got started, when discovered?
I was seven.
Seven, mm-hmm. And how did that happen?
I was in a Christmas pageant.
Oh.
And I was not cast as the lead. And I thought
who
that was wrong. I was just one of the lead's friends.
Okay.
Because the lead part was written for a boy. And I didn't like that. And I provoked him into being naughty, which was hitting me. I got him to hit me. And I told the teacher, and then I got the part.
Passive, aggressive.
Yes.
Well, I know never to cross you. Season 2 of Yellow Jackets premieres Friday, March 24th on Showtime. Christina Ricci, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.